Good morning or evening or afternoon or whenever you're listening to this. This is Victoria with Service Dog Success, the world's best service dog centric podcast. And with me today, I have Bert, who hangs out with me most of the time, Sorka, and her Cinderella litter of puppies. So if you hear little puppy noises, that's what it is. I'm on puppy duty right now, keeping an ear on things, keeping an eye on things. And it is Sunday, it is Mother's Day, and it is podcast recording time. And what this episode is going to answer some questions from people, because we've had this brought up multiple times in the past few weeks. So we figured let's address it in podcast form. And that is, what do I look for when I'm looking for a dog to be a service dog? What do I look for in breeders? What do I look for in the dog? Because people have been asking, you know, will you help me to pick out a puppy to be my service dog from another breeder? Either they don't want a golden's not the right dog for them, or, you know, a friend has them and they think they can get them cheaper. And oftentimes, cheap comes out expensive. So it doesn't always save you money in the long run. So we figured we would discuss that today. Okay. Rich might be joining us too. He's making me grilled cheese for lunch because that just sounds super good. Okay. So what do you look for in a breeder first? And we've discussed this before, so you'll be able to search our archives and find different ones. We've addressed it on TikTok and on YouTube also. We are active on all social medias. So TikTok and YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, but in our podcast here. But what do you want to look for is, first and foremost, you want to find out if the breeder does health testing on the dogs. Now, this doesn't mean, oh, the vet says that he's healthy, it's fine, right? No, this also isn't, yeah, they got their vaccines. For golden retrievers, the Golden Retriever Club of America, which is the breed club, recommends doing hips, elbows, eyes, and heart. And eyes have to be done annually. Heart is done one and you're good. And hips and elbows can be done beforehand, but they have to be done 2 years old or older. Now, there's like a whole bunch you can get into with it. And I can discuss health testing in detail in another podcast. But you want, if you're looking at a golden retriever, you want to find out what the parents' health testing scores are. And that's hips, elbows, eyes, and heart. Ideally, you'd also find out about their genetics. And that's like ichthyosis or progressive retinal atrophy, or there's a whole bunch of genetic ones. And you could do that. It's a simple spit test. You know, all breeders should have that done. Because you can have a dog who's clear, you can have a dog who's a carrier, or you can have a dog who's affected. And if you remember in science class in middle school, whenever we do the tall peas and the short peas, and or blue eyes and brown eyes, and which is dominant, which is recessive, it's like that, right? So it's really easy to not have a dog who's affected if you know the genetics of the parents, okay? One time we had someone who wanted to breed their male with our female, and our female was an ichthyosis carrier. Well, she didn't want to run a genetic panel on her dog, and so we did. And turns out that her dog was also an ichthyosis carrier, and I said, we can't breed them together. And she says, why? And I said, because they're both ichthyosis carriers. Like they could have puppies who are affected for ichthyosis, which is scaly skin, if you think about it. You know, the, what is it, the Latin for it, icky and theosis, and that's scaly skin, right? And she's like, well, that's not bad, do it anyway. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And I asked her if she had any clear boys, and she didn't at the time. So you have to watch it, right? So most of our girls are clear now. Princess is a carrier for something, and one of the keepers, I think it's Star, is a carrier for something. No, Star's clear, Pirate's clear. I think it's Truffle or Panini. I think it's Truffle's a carrier also, and they got that from Lucy. I mean, it's PRA1. It's luckily not as popular as like ichthyosis is, but anyway, like I said, I geek out over this breeding stuff. But it hips, elbows, eyes, and heart. And that's not even, my vet looked at x-rays and said that they're fine. You send it into OFA, which is Orthopedic Foundation of America, and they'll rate your dog. Or you can send it to Penn Hip, and they will rank your dog. Or ideally, both will be done. Right? But so, first of all, you want those. If, for example, it's a fair hip to fair hip breeding, pass. You know, I don't want fair hip to fair hip, fair to good or fair to excellent. Or, you know, also, what are their pen hip scores? Like, what's going on here? Let's start you off with success. The next thing you want to ask your breeder is, like, why you, why this breed for service work? In one of my Facebook groups, someone was asking about a lab or a golden breeder. And a lot of times people think goldens are just labs with longer hair and labs are just goldens with shorter hair. And that's not the case at all. But someone asked for labs or goldens, and one of the responses was, well, here's a good Aussie breeder for service dogs. No, I don't like Aussies or border collies as service dogs. They are too herdy, which means it's too much about space and controlling space, and then they'll get nippy, and it's not good, right? Like, why are you setting yourself up for more trouble when it's a lot easier to go with a dog who isn't going to have those issues? Right. So a lot of herding breeds, it's about the space and taking them out into public. And they're like, no, I must control the space. How dare you get closer? I'm controlling this space. It's not fun. Right. So why, you know, goldens, I think, are the best. We know what to look for. I've been training service dogs for close to 20 years now, or maybe over 20 years now, somewhere around there, probably close to, I know what I want. You know, I've told the story before that I, you know, we were breeding or we were training dogs, and I had a dog and I was training her up. And as people found out, I had a service dog, they'd ask me questions. And as I'd answer those questions, they'd come to me with more questions. And if I didn't know, I'd look it up. But as it turned into, I'm trying to find something here. You know, more and more people then bringing me their dogs for training and people referring me out. And I was like, gosh, I bet I could do this as a business or as a hobby at the time. And as I started getting more clients, the people who had service dogs found out that I had a service dog, so they bring me their dogs. And they do groups or privates or boarding trains, but it wasn't enough. And so we put together our programs, but even for them, for some dogs, they just weren't cut out to be service dogs. And I do feel, and if you've been here for pickup, you've heard me say it, like, our dogs know that they have a higher purpose in this world, and they know that they're special, and it's pretty awesome, you know? So we would have that, we have the program, but some of the dogs just weren't, like, they weren't cut off for it. They did not want to be service dogs who were coming to us because, you know, for a long time we trained dogs that people brought us. And we thought, well, we need to get the dogs who are actually bred for this, for being service dogs. So either we try to find them, and around here a lot of the shelters have, you know, pit bulls and bully mixes. And they have dogs with, you know, other breeds of dogs with issues. And it's really hard to find, like, a really good, resilient lab or a really good, resilient golden. They're impossible to find. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. So we decided, okay, well, our options, thank you, Rich. You just brought me my grilled cheese. Our options are my mother's steak grilled cheese sandwich on my chair instead of in bed, but still. So we could either try to find breeders, connect with breeders, work with breeders, right? Or we could breed ourselves. And I'm a little bit of a control freak, so I like the idea of breeding ourselves. So that's why we got into breeding. And, you know, I can tell you what our goldens do best. We do a lot that have medical alert. We'll do light mobility. A dog is not a substitute for a cane, a walker, or a wheelchair. I don't recommend the dog supporting you every step of the way. I don't recommend the dog pulling your wheelchair every step of the way, because medical equipment like walkers, wheelchairs, rollerators, canes, crutches are a heck of a lot cheaper than a service dog. So it's not saying you don't deserve a service dog. It's saying let the service dog do things that the mobility aids cannot do. Okay. So you don't need the dog to help you every step along the way, but what about retrieving stuff and bringing stuff to you? Right? Deep pressure therapy if you get hurty sore, medical alert response and recovery. You know, there's a lot that the dogs can do. We have a bunch up on our website also, a bunch of ideas. Okay. So, you know, why their breed? That's the next question. Yes, the breeder. Third question you're going to ask the breeder is, how do the moms deliver? Like, our moms deliver in home in a nice environment. We had a whelp nurse before who it's a little more chaotic delivering at her house and raising at her house. This is a lot calmer and quieter here, even though we have a lot more people who come in because it's routine. We know what we've done. I think this was litter 19 that we've done. You know, we've had a lot of puppies, close to, I think, probably about 170 puppies at this point. So, like, we've had a lot of puppies, and they've been mostly Goldens. So, you know, we've had one litter of Dobes, two litters of Poodles, and then the Goldens. And I can tell you why we bred those, you know, but I like doing this. So they're here. They're in our bedroom for the first 4 weeks. And then when they go into the dog room in the puppy pen, you know, we get that set up for them for the next 4 weeks. I can tell you what they do. Another question you're going to want to ask your breeder is what puppy, what's the name for it? What puppy raising protocol do you follow? Right? And a lot of people want puppy culture or badass breeders, because I got to say ass. Or there's a couple others. Puppy culture. I like Avadog. Puppy culture seems kind of kindergarten-y. We got the information on it. We watched the information on it. I'm just not wild about it. Like, there's a lot that's missing. There's a lot that I don't believe in, you know, that's just wrong from 20 years of dog training. Like, this isn't what you do. Avadog is much more thorough. I really like that. Now it's part of the Good Dog. It's a puppy finding site and puppy payment platform. And we utilize them currently. But I like that you have access to Avadog there. And I refer to that every time we have a litter. We have our procedures and protocols book. So that means at 3 days old, we start early neurological stimulation and early scent introduction. It means that we have different things that we're doing with the puppies every week. Like right now, we have a foam egg crate in like wavy plastic sensory panels for babies. And they're in there. We put, we call them the babysitters, and it's the bigger stuffed animals are in there with the mama too. It was funny. Princess had him in there once, a big Bucky bear, and she had her two puppies. That was her first litter. And she left the box to go, you know, outside and go potty and stuff. And each puppy was up on one of Bucky's legs. Like, he was the babysitter. She was going to go party. Thanks. But she just went outside to potty, which they do. You know, they don't stay in the box 100% of the time. It's ridiculous to think that they have to go out and pee. They're going to get out and go get a drink of water. They can stretch out on the floor where they don't have to worry about squishing their puppies. You know, like, all that stuff is fine. It's not a problem. They can totally do that. But what do you follow? As soon as their eyes open and their ears open, we'll start them on not the mama for food. And then we also will, when they're staying clean, we'll upgrade to the breakaway collars, and we'll add in potty trays when they can start potting on their own, which all this happens about the same time. So our puppies are starting potty training from about 3 weeks old, which means a lot of times when they go home, they're used to keeping a clean pen, which is really nice. And a lot of times, as long as you're on top of things, like, you're not having issues. And again, coming from close to 20 years of dog training, that's rare. That's really hard to find. You get so many dogs who have potty issues up the wazoo, who won't keep a crate clean, who will go in it and pee right away. And it's so frustrating and it's so difficult, and you don't want that. There's also what I call basement puppies. We're like, yeah, the puppies are born in the basement. Yeah, people don't really go down there. Yeah, they kind of throw food down to them once and again. Like, that's not what we want at all. You know, so understand, like, where's the dogs born? Where are the puppies whelped at? Where are they raised at? Are they raised in a barn? Why are they raised in a barn? Are they raised in the basement? Why are they raised in the basement? You know, like, ours are born in our bedroom. We have a big bedroom. We could do two whelping boxes, our bed and everything else that we normally have in here. You know, ask, find questions. You know, a lot of breeders like to talk about what it is. Like, we whelp onto fleece blankets. The puppies have these fleece blankets to help with better grip and better traction from delivery, right? And hopefully that'll help improve hip scores. Again, I told you I geek out about this stuff. So you have to deal with me whenever I get going on these tangents. How are the puppies decided on who goes where? Okay, is it based on first come, first serve? Do you get to pick? Does the breeder get to pick? Do they do a puppy testing, like a puppy aptitude testing, commonly known as the Volhard test? You know what? There's issues with the Volhard test. Mm-hmm. As much as I like it, it's geared to every breed, not Golden specific. So most of the time, our Goldens hit where we expect them to hit. We don't have outliers, which is good. It's good for us. It means we're breeding well. But it doesn't take into account some different things. So we've added our own things to it over the years. And I like it. It works out really good. But how is yours evaluated? How does your breeder evaluate? Does your breeder have somebody come in and do it, or do they just do it because they know the puppies? No, you can't just do it. We have somebody come in who hasn't met the puppies, hasn't seen the puppies at all. They come in the first time they see the puppies is for these evaluations. And we set it up in a brand new room that they haven't been in before. And it works beautifully. And then we add in our extra pieces of it. And then our evaluations with them can start about 5 or 6 weeks old. We'll pull them. We'll work with them. We'll see what they're strong with, see what they need help with. Because you can't just say, oh, you're great with this. Okay, that's all. Or, oh, this is your issue. You're done. Uh-uh. And then things change. The world changes. So they're going to come and go from fear windows, fear periods for the first couple years. And part of it is how to deal with stress, how to deal with issues that come up, you know, and what are you going to do about them? So oftentimes the dog will feed off of you and what you're doing. So you've got to watch that yourself. What else is important? If you get to pick and you pick the purple collared puppy because purple is your favorite color, is that really a reason that you should be picking a puppy? No. Well, how about I pick this puppy because it just, he spoke to me. Sorry. He spoke to me. We just had a connection. I looked in his eyes and I just knew he was the one. No, come on. Now they're all puppies. They're all adorably cute. You want to pick the puppy that's going to do the best for you and with you, where their strengths are what you need and your strengths are what they need, right? If you pick one because, oh, he was at my feet all the time and it was just so great, but you need a dog who's low energy and he's really high energy, and you need a dog for, I don't know, scent work and he doesn't like to use his nose, or you need retrieves and he doesn't like to retrieve at this point, does that mean he's never going to like to retrieve? No. It just means, like, let's go with the dog who's showing that they're going to excel in what you need. So you need to be able to find that and look for it. And then you need to be able to bring it out and continue it. Because just because it's 7 weeks old, which is when we match puppies here, they're at least 7 weeks old, right? We do the best that we can. And like I've said, our puppies know that they're special. But if you don't nurture that, they might not make it as service dogs. Even if everything's looking good at them at 7 weeks old, at, you know, 12 weeks old, 16 weeks old, 6 months old, a year old, you know, it's up to you too. And you have to do your part. So with us too, because of the extensive service dog background, you have access to us for that. When questions come up, we're here for you. Always, we're here for you. We also have our online course. Every one of our puppies goes home with our online course, which is also called Service Dog Success. And it's a full and complete online course to help you out every step of the way. We also do scholarships for that course. Every puppy who stays for one of our puppy programs, we donate a online course to somebody. Okay. I've seen a lot of breeders start advertising puppy programs, but they don't know what they're doing, like, at all. And that's scary. Or they're worried about things like people always want, like, sit. He doesn't know sit. Yeah, of course he doesn't know sit. He can lure into a sit, but I don't care about naming it when they're 8 weeks old. You know, I want them to understand different things first. And then once they like it, I'll name it. But we might not name it for a little bit, and that's okay. It's not a problem. Okay? Those are things that you really want to look at. Some of ours have confirmation titles. Some of ours have, event titles, like AKC event titles. Some of ours are working service dogs, which is pretty awesome. Bernard's here. He wants to help me with my grilled cheese sandwich. But if you need a service dog and you're going to, say, this border collie breeder who does a lot of herding and agility, is that really the best breed for you? Is that really the best dog for you for being a service dog? You know, it's something to think about. A lot of times people want the dog that's cool. I remember when Game of Thrones was going on, everybody wanted a Siberian Husky as a service dog. And I'm like, no, you're not one of the Starks. You don't get a dire wolf as a service dog. You get the dog who is going to suit what your needs are, not the dog who looks super cool. And a lot of times people are like, oh, Goldings are boring. I want something awesome. I want something sexy as a service dog. And I'm like, dude, it's a service dog. Get the dog that's going to fit you the best and the easiest. Okay? But that's what you're going to start with when you're asking breeders. Now, what if you wanted to go with a shelter dog and a rescue dog? Because you're going to save a life and rescue a dog. Okay. Say you find a puppy in rescue that they're telling you is something. Are you sure? I mean, you should know what the mom is, but what do you know what the dad is? Is this dog you're getting going to be Chihuahua size or Great Dane size? What was the health like of the parents? What were the guts like of the parents? What was the health testing? What was the temperament? How were they raised? Do you think they got that early neurological stim, that early scent introduction, which is vitally key for why our dogs do so well with scent discrimination and scent-based medical alert? Have they gone through trauma early in life that's going to impact them later in life? Sometimes they do. And you're like, oh boy, you know, this dog's gone through so much trauma that maybe it made them resilient. Maybe that resilient broke. Like, you don't know. So you've got to take that into mind. Are you going to take a dog? Are you going to train the dog up for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and then find out that this dog didn't get big enough for what you needed or didn't have that resiliency or didn't have those foundation skills that are needed? And now you have to start all over. And not only are you starting all over, but you're 2 years farther down the line. And now you have to get on another puppy list because you decided to go with a breeder this time. Are you going to go with the right breeder? Are you going to go with the one who has a puppy available? Or are you going to go with the one that's really close to you? Are you going to go with, oh, my neighbor had an oops litter, I'm going to use one of those puppies? But why? Why are those puppies going to be a good service dog for you? Okay, so it takes into account a lot. And you're 2 years further down the line, are you able to train up a service dog like you were before? Puppies are a lot of work. And trust me, before we were breeding, when we were training dogs outside of our breeding program, because all dogs were outside of our breeding program because we didn't have one, we get these dogs in at 5 and 6 and 7 months old, and they were hellions. They weren't potty trained. They knew nothing. They just knew to be obnoxious. That's what usually happens. At 6 months old, now our dogs are a different story, which is nice. But we still give them some freedom. Okay? So it's something you really have to decide on. What breed, what breeder, if you're going to go with a breeder, and why? And is that breeder putting out a dog who you think is going to excel as a service dog or not? For our information, it's hopeservicedogs.org. Also, we have a link tree. It's linktr.ee/hope, H-O-P-E, the letter S, the letter D, Hope SD, Hope Service Dogs. Our link tree has links to all of our social media, our online courses, and everything that you can find for service dogs. And go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. I mean, I've been doing this for a while. We have a lot of podcasts out there, okay? But what do you need for a service dog? This is going to be your place to start. What are you looking for as a service dog breeder, in a service dog breeder? A lot. You want it all. That's what I do. I want it all. I want the best, and I want it all. And so do you.